part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part. Fanboy.com.
All right, let us begin. I am Christian Horn, and I am here with Doctor Who expert Barry Negrin.
Hello, Christian.
Hello. You don't like being called Doctor Who expert, is that it?
Oh, no.
No.
I take that label with pride.
So we are here to discuss the second part of the Peter Capaldi Season 9 Doctor Who opener, and this one is called The Witch's Familiar, correct?
Yes, this is the second part of the opener of season 35, for those of us in the know.
Yeah.
For those of us not in the know.
Well,
it's season 9.
So, what was I going to say? So, yeah, I think we just left off where it ended, which at that point, the TARDIS, Clara, and Missy had been disintegrated by the Daleks, and the doctor was left in dire straits. And it sounds like you have a lot of opinions about this week's episode, because you've been sending me messages once again, like, there's a lot to like, but I have a couple of things that I didn't like. So why don't you walk the listeners through how this episode opened up, because it didn't necessarily open up where it left off.
No, that was actually very interesting. That was one of the reasons why I was giving this the A part of the A minus that I want to give it.
So you give it an A minus.
The minus for me only comes at the end.
Oh, okay.
So it was very interesting because they open up with the previously on Doctor Who, and you see young Davros in the hand mine field, surrounded by hand mines, about to get sucked into the earth. The doctor shows up. He had ditched him when he found out that he was Davros. He comes back with a Dalek disintegrator gun.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I've come back to do what I was supposed to do. I'm here to help the only way I know how.
Yeah.
And he says, exterminate. And the credits cut out.
Yeah.
And, you know, having given it some thought over the ensuing week, I had some ideas as to what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was gratified that they played out. But I won't spoil them now yet.
Not yet?
So instead, we cut back to, I believe we see, at that point, Clara and Missy having a lovely conversation out in the wilderness of Skarrow.
Yes. When they're Clara's supposed to be dead.
Yes.
So
we know.
Yeah, Moffat didn't leave us like hanging. Any mystery. Yeah, he didn't leave us hanging, which I was a little disappointed by that. I thought he would kind of string that a little bit longer, you know what I mean?
Right. But he did, well, he did leave us hanging as to what's he going to do with Davros.
Yeah.
That was the bigger cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so you see Missy and Clara, and they are discussing, well, Clara's hanging upside down.
Yes, she's tied up by her feet.
Yeah, and Missy is sharpening a stick.
Yes.
And
seems pretty ominous.
Yeah, it does seem pretty ominous, but it actually was a lot less ominous than I thought. And I mean, at that point, Clara's sort of like, how did we survive, right?
Yes, and you know, this interchange here is not only, this is the Clara we've always wanted. She's whip smart. She's not freaking out under pressure. She's not crying about anything. She's just using her wits, because the master, Missy, is sharpening a stick, and Clara's asking questions, and Missy says, figure it out.
Yeah.
And she does.
Yeah.
She totally gets it.
Yeah. It was interesting. I thought it was kind of really clever how Missy sort of explained how she got, not only did she explain how they survived the last episode, but she explained how she survived the finale of last season. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I thought that was, it was a really neat take. Like, basically, she stole a trick from the Doctor.
Right. She modified the energy for her vortex manipulator or whatever she was using at the time.
The teleportation
and,
thing.
Right. Previously, it was the Cyberman's gun that activated it. And now this time, it was the Dalek ray.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I thought that was kind of clever. And there was that one little bit sort of at the end of the opening where they're like walking off into the sunset together and yeah. Missy's like kind of like skipping with
right.
a stick in her hand. And I thought that was sort of a really, really, it was just kind of like a neat image, especially since, you know, there's all these people that speculate, you know, Missy is kind of like a riff on Mary Poppins and that sort
right.
of thing. And like,
well, some, there were some really cool things in that whole interchange where she says to Clara in the beginning, you know, that like the way she's sort of being very patient with her.
Yeah.
And but a little bit evil. You know, it's very, it harkens back to the Anthony Ainley years and even the Roger Delgado years of The Master. And instead of her just being a psychopath, she's an evil genius, but
yeah.
she's giving Clara like 12 seconds to figure it out. And then in the meantime, she's talking about how I need to hunt, you know, because I'm getting kind of hungry. And she was, you know, I'm not looking at you as a sandwich anymore. which sort of harkens back to the John Sim master where he was, you know, eating the earthlings that he was encountering.
Oh, yeah. I had totally forgotten about that. That's interesting. Yeah.
And saying, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, basically, Missy and Clara survive, and there's kind of a reasonable explanation for it all. I didn't
right.
feel kind of, like, cheated. I didn't feel like, oh, that's stupid. I thought it was really neat.
But you will feel that way later in the episode.
Well, there were a couple of small things that I had issue with, but as a whole, I mean, you know, I don't know. I thought this was definitely one of the better episodes that I've seen in the past couple of years, I will say, at the very least. You know, the one thing you know, to jump ahead to Capaldi, because, you know, we do, you know.
It is his show.
Yeah, and it is his show. I feel that the characterization of Capaldi has changed a little bit in these first two episodes because, you know, last episode he's kind of hugging, you know what I mean, like wanting to hide his face. It seems like he's a little bit less of a grumpy, negative Nelly in these first two episodes, you know, which I know is something that you really liked about him. And,
you know, but he's still... I mean, he's still Scottish, so no disrespect to any of our Scottish listeners.
Yes, our one Scottish listener.
Or any of them.
Yeah, exactly.
The Chinese bots that record the show
yeah.
for the Scottish listener.
Exactly.
But in any case, no, he's still a badass, and that's okay. I mean, remember, he's also went into this adventure thinking he was going to die.
Yeah.
Right, so he prepped his...
Do you think that's true? Because I don't want to jump all the way to the
okay,
end.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't think he really thought he was dying.
So you think it was just part of the long con?
Yeah, I think it's... This is the thing that I'm sort of... This issue... This particular episode and episodes in recent memory... We're sort of getting to this sort of, again, we've talked about Moffat being a little bit repetitive in sort of the things he does with sort of like riffs on the angels and like, oh, it, you know, it's not blinking this time, it's breathing or whatever, you know what I mean? Don't breathe or don't move or, you know what I mean?
Don't think.
Don't
right.
think or, you know, whatever it is. Like.
Don't pee.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't fart, you know, it's basically like So with this, I think we're sort of falling into a thing where it's like we're sort of duped into thinking like, oh, this is like really, this is serious. This is serious. And then by the end of the episode, you're like, yeah, it kind of really wasn't. The doctor was already ahead of the game. He knew everything. He knows everything. He's unbeatable. And
well, no, he's not unbeatable, because he could have wiped, if he were truly unbeatable, he could wipe out the Daleks. But he did.
Well, but that's the thing, is, and that's something else to discuss. Did he even want to wipe out the Daleks? Like, this is where things are kind of like, you know, going crazy. But now we're jumping ahead. I mean, I don't know. We could just, this conversation could go all over the place. You know what I mean? There's
it's
so much.
Not stuff. Unlike the episode.
Well, it's so funny because you said A minus, but you seem to be the one that has the most problems with it.
Just towards the end, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah. So at this point, the doctor is, I always keep wanting to call him Doctor Who, and it's terrible. The doctor, he's stuck with Davros, and they're sort of still having their little tete-a-tete, right?
Yes, I mean, they're having a philosophical discussion, but Davros is really starting to fall apart. I mean, he's very old.
Yeah.
He's getting older, and, you know, he's starting to get a little wistful. He's starting to really open up to be like a person.
Yeah.
Instead of just a raging evil scientist with the doctor. You know, he starts saying things like, I'm dying. I'd like to see you with my own eyes.
Yeah.
So he turns off his
Which
sensor.
Was a callback to Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. Didn't you catch
right.
that? I felt that that was a very Darth Vader.
When he opened up his mask.
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
So, and he's, you know, telling him things like, I really wish I had, you know, am I a good man? Which is, he's sort of turning back what the doctor has been saying to Clara over the last season.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he asks the doctor, why did you come? And he says, you're dying. I came.
Yeah.
He says, did you really think I was dying? He says, I wasn't so sure. He says, well, then we can agree on one thing. You're not a good doctor.
Yeah.
He cracks a joke. I mean,
yeah,
he cracks
actually,
a joke with the doctor.
And they actually kind of both laugh, too.
Yeah. He's very, like, he's really giving it his all. He's fully humanized. And, like, look, he's just an old man. He's about to die. He wants to have, like, a nice conversation with his enemy.
Yeah. And that's sort of... This is the sort of thing that kind of blew my mind. I mean, and I'm not even like a serious longtime fan like you are. Like,
right.
I was like, wow, this is getting a little mushy. And it's like, and my head was kind of spinning because I'm like, oh, they're like, they're talking like they're friends. You know what I mean? And,
right.
But the way the Daleks have always been presented, or at least the doctor's feelings towards the Daleks, have been that they're just this murderous race without any empathy, without any emotion, and that Davros was just the biggest bad of them all, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So for them to be having this, like, mushy sort of like, hey, weren't those good times, all those wars that we fought, you know, which, you know, has been done in other forms of literature where it's like, you know, everything from comic books to novels to movies, where it's like the two long-term enemies that have been fighting for, you know, so long finally sort of come to some weird understanding. But for me,
well, I think it also had to do with the fact that the doctor was, maybe this was also his last opportunity to figure out what the hell was Davros's motivation, what was he thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's just, there were times, and that's the thing, does the sort of end or the resolution of the episode sort of discount, like, these conversations that the two of them had, you know? Does any of that episode, that's the thing that kind of blew my mind, because once you sort of get to the end, you sort of are dealing with an episode that was kind of almost complete BS. You know, was
How
it?
So?
Well, like you said, like the long con, like they're sort of like having like sentimental. I mean, look, we can't talk about it without blowing the end of the episode. So, I mean, basically,
which we're going to.
Which, you know, the end of the episode is that.
Wait. All right. Let's go back to the Missy and Claren.
All right. Go back.
Story.
That,
then, because
don't even get me started.
Because we were. Let's try to play it out in the order that it was presented.
Sure.
So, you know. They need to get back to the Dalek City,
yes.
And they figure they're gonna get in through the sewers, and they're walking around, and Missy is sort of doing things to Clara. It's almost like a twisted, like parallel, bizarro version of the doctor and a companion.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in the sewers, and they need to see, you know, how deep is this hole? So Missy just shoves Clara down the hole.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about 20 feet.
About 20 feet.
Now, you know, I was thinking initially, you know, a 20-foot fall on your head could kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe...
I figured it was a sewer, so there was liquid or something.
Or that gravity on Skaro is not quite as bad as it is on her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, especially since the length of time that she fell... took longer than 20 feet on Earth. So I'll go with the fact that gravity on Skaro is lighter.
Look at you trying to equate reality to an episode of Doctor Who. Come on.
Am I also trying to give Moffat the benefit of the doubt?
Okay.
So, which I don't always do.
Yeah, no.
So Clara's a little pissed about that. And they capture a Dalek by Missy handcuffs Clara to a video camera.
Yeah.
So that
or something.
Right. The Dalek comes running and she punches some holes in the Dalek with her brooch.
Yeah, wait. You're jumping ahead. You forgot about the whole Dalek sewer thing, which is like a big important thing, which I had a little bit of trouble wrapping my brain around. Maybe I was kind of tired. I was like, wait, so the Daleks, they live forever, but they're still decomposing. And
right.
The Daleks seep into the earth of their, or into the sewer of their planet. It seemed a little kind of convoluted.
Well, it's actually, I don't know if you watched Torchwood. Did you see Miracle Day?
Yeah. Wait.
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Miracle Day was that day where people on Earth stopped dying.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
the crappy Stars one, right?
Yes.
The American one.
Exactly.
A horrible one. Horrible, horrible.
True.
Worst Torchwood ever, which is broke my heart. Anyway, go ahead.
So you have people who aren't dying, but they're still these like twisted bodies and they're like burnt and there's no way to kill them.
Yeah.
But it seems like the Daleks are similar, like they're this blob of protoplasm that still has some sort of consciousness even after it's broken down.
So are you saying that once the armor is broken down, they're just relegated to the sewers?
Oh, no.
Or...
it's not the armor. It's the blobby thing inside the armor.
So the armor keeps going after the organic matter inside of it is dead.
I would say so, yeah, not that the organic matter is dead. The organic matter stays alive. And whether the armor is broken or they have to swap out a more functional sentient blobby thing for a casing.
This makes no sense. No, that's where it kind of got me. I was like, so wait, because then as you get towards the end of the episode, you know, this becomes sentient in some way. Like, anyway, okay, so they capture a Dalek. See, the whole sewer thing, I was like, you know, this is one of those things, it's great misdirection, because it's like they introduce this thing that is kind of like really cool in the concept, kind of doesn't make sense, but it distracts you enough to where you're like, oh, that's just like a really cool set, you know, that's not going to come into play later, you know, you're being distracted. And then by the end of the episode, it comes into play in a major, major way. But anyway, they capture a Dalek. Like you said, Missy kind of like pokes a bunch of holes in it because she has this special brooch that the doctor gave her daughter. Which,
yes.
Is that the first time she's ever talked about?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you had some really good you had some really good little snippets of possible backstory there.
Yeah.
While they're talking.
Yeah.
You have Missy as a daughter, or had a daughter, and there's a reference later on in the episode that Missy actually fought in the Time War.
Yeah.
Because she says to one of the other Daleks, "Tell the Supreme Dalek, whom I fought on like the Never Vault,
yeah,
that the bitch is back."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That she was involved somehow.
Right.
Yeah, which was really kind of cool. But then we sort of get to the point where it's like, this is where I was like, you're not going to do what I think you're going to do, which was they prop the Dalek open.
Right.
And Missy's like, "Why don't you get inside?" And Clara, like an idiot, basically gets inside the Dalek. And I was
she gets she's a little nervous about it.
Of course she is, but there's no way on God's green earth, heaven above, that I am getting into a Dalek casing with Missy being like, "Go ahead, everything's going to be fine." I'm like, no. This is not, it's not like I'm claustrophobic enough. You're not putting me in a Dalek casing and closing it. And then
and hooking shit up to your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, don't worry, the nanotech will fix that. I'm like, the what now?
Yeah, exactly. I was very much like, I believe there have been a lot of stupid companion moments in the past, but this is one of the dumbest companion moments, actually getting hooked into a Dalek. And it's like, I get it that she was doing this to like save the doctor.
Right.
But and I'm sure you would agree with me, unless it was my own daughter, there is no way you're getting me into that, especially on Missy's say-so. There's just no way.
But the interesting thing is that harkened back to the season seven opener, Asylum of the Daleks, where we saw Osmond Oswald inside the Dalek.
Yeah, exactly.
She was a Dalek.
Yeah, she was a Dalek. And then,
right.
And she didn't realize she was a Dalek or something like that?
No, she did not realize.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was a really good callback to that episode, which, that was kind of one of the first things that popped into my head. But in my head, I'm like, no, Clara, no, you're smarter than this. Don't get in the Dalek. Don't get in the Dalek. Like, I was like, don't do it, and she gets in the Dalek. Basically, they're trying, another callback to Star Wars, they're sort of doing the whole, put on the stormtrooper armor.
You're a little short for a Dalek.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was really neat. So, I mean, there was a part of me that thought it was neat, especially when they start walking through the whole, like, say you love me or say this, and all that comes out is exterminate.
Right.
Like,
So, by the way, this is one plot hole that I thought about.
Yeah.
First of all, this Dalek casing had some holes in it.
Yeah.
Second of all, if it didn't have any holes in it, she would asphyxiate.
Well, I would imagine that there was a way for the organic matter to survive, right? I mean, there has to be something. Some kind of breathing apparatus, right?
Yeah, but that's designed for a blobby thing, not for a person. So that's the other thing. Why would there be so much room inside a Dalek casing to fit a human? Or a full-fledged Colin, when it's initially designed to be controlled by a fist-sized blobby thing.
Yeah, I totally get that too. But then there was there's the moments where, I mean, have we totally skipped the moment where the doctor stole Davros's chair and like is sitting in the chair, which I thought was kind of a brilliant. I believe they definitely did that doctor moment where he's got Davros's chair, and that's why I think that moment where she sits in the Dalek, which you have a lot of good points, but I think that they paved the way for that moment where she sits by having,
Yeah, but you saw Davros sort of when he was out of his chair and he was stuck in the sick bay still, his whole lower torso
was cut off.
He was sort of like, which I thought was very similar to the Borg, the Queen Borg from one of the Star Trek movies, I don't know which one. And she, you know, she's got just, she's like half a body.
Yeah. Which he was. But I mean, I guess, yeah, the doctor tooling around in Davros's chair, you know, I don't know. It kind of set that scene up, I think, a little bit. Where...
Right, but I mean, the Dalek casing is... How are you going to fit a whole
It's
person?
Not big enough. Yeah.
I mean, she's short, but she's not that...
Yeah. Well, wait, let's go back to that really interesting scene where... Because, so at that point, like, Missy and Clara, like, do-do-do-do-do, they go
right.
down and...
She's having Clara pretend she's a real Dalek.
Yeah.
And... that she's captured the humanoid, which is Missy.
Yeah, exactly. But before that, or after it, during at some point, there's a really neat scene where the doctor liberates Davros of his chair and
right.
wheels into the room.
A big control room with the Supreme Dalek.
With the Supreme Dalek and all his Dalek buddies, and is basically kind of taunting them and wanting to know where...
Because they can't shoot him.
Yeah, because they can't shoot him because he's got a force field, and basically demanding to know where Clara Oswald is.
Right.
Yeah.
They think she's dead.
Yeah, and they're like, she is dead. And he's like, no, it must have been some sort of trick that you were playing on me. And, you know, the Supreme Dalek's like, I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's gone. She's a goner, you know? So, yeah, and... But then the trap is sprung. There's a bunch of snakes from... What's that guy's name? Colony what?
Colony Sarf.
And right. And basically the snakes spring out of the chair and he is subdued once again. Right.
He's knocked out because, like, they give him, you know, they put him in a chokehold.
Yeah. So he gets knocked out and he wakes up.
And right, then, he wakes up back in the infirmary.
Yes.
Davros is back in his chair.
Yeah.
And, you know... He's not tied down.
No.
But here is where Davros really starts to physically go south. And that's when he plays on, he explains to the doctor that he is tied in to the heartbeat of all the Daleks.
Yeah.
And like he's basically siphoning off Dalek life energy. That's how he's kept himself alive all these millennia.
Yeah.
Head, but he would really like to see the sunrise one last time with his own eyes. And but the doctor, being a sucker for compassion, you know, says, you know what I can do? I can zap you a little regeneration energy.
Yeah.
Just to get you over the hump to sunrise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the way the whole thing plays out, because I was like, wait a minute, like, we're talking about, you know, like, in our, you know, our comparison is like Adolf Hitler. Are you really going to give Adolf Hitler a little more energy to see the sun? I mean, from what I understand, the way these Daleks are played out, this is the thing that kind of bugged me about this episode, or is bugging me about the Daleks lately. I don't know. I mean, I know that they're basically, you know, people make jokes about the walking trash can and they look silly and dopey. But I always thought the Daleks looked kind of creepy in a way and their voice was kind of weird.
They're supposed to be terrifying.
Yeah. And at this point, we're sort of getting to a point in the series where the Daleks are becoming like sort of these like warm, fuzzy, kind of funny like things, and
well,
I really need to start seeing Daleks come back and be like some kick-ass mofos, you know what I'm saying? Like some
right.
really scary, because I don't know if I ever told you about this, like this new Doctor Who, when I started watching it with Christopher Eccleston, the first couple episodes, I was like, okay, you know, this is kind of goofy. I'm with it. I like it. Reminds me a little bit of the original Star Trek. Like okay. I'm into this, you know, the effects aren't great, but it was the episode Dalek where Eccleston faces off, because I had heard about the Daleks, you know, I'd never really watched the old show, but
sure.
I heard about them and that made me sit up, and it was his reaction to the Dalek where he wants
really
to kill it no matter
right.
what. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, these guys are badasses. So now we've kind of reached a point in the series where it's like, really? You're going to give the dude, like, I was like, no, these guys are like, they almost destroyed your whole race. There was a time war. You know, this is sort of like...
But, you know, as he pointed out, Gallifrey's back. It's in the sky again.
They're still supposed to be the scum of the universe, right?
They're like, bad, yes.
The worst things, the worst of the worst. And Davros is supposed to be the worst of the worst as well. And so I had a little bit of trouble with that up until you got to the big reveal at the end, which kind of is... What, you know, what is the reveal that he's, you know, basically like Doctor Who gets sucked in and he's like being sucked of his regeneration energy and Davros.
And the pipeline, right, the connection between Davros and the Daleks is apparently bidirectional.
Yeah.
And instead of just him drawing life from the Daleks, now they're sucking the regeneration energy out of the Doctor, and it's going to all the Daleks,
yeah,
everywhere. So they're being infused with, you know, Time Lord pixie dust.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And basically what Davros's big scheme was, well, A, to keep himself alive, and to B, sort of create a hybrid,
Super
Dalek, which is like a hybrid of the Time Lord and the Daleks to, I don't know, evolve them to the next step. So they
to get them to be totally invincible.
Yeah, exactly. And destroy the universe, which, you know, again, is like, come on, Doc, you didn't know like this was coming? Like, you know, but
right.
Eventually what happens is it gets played out that he...
Aha!
Yeah.
He knew it all along.
I knew it all along, exactly.
What I want to know about is this. He was not in the sewer with Missy and Clara.
No.
So how did he know about the sewer being full of, you know, sort of decaying Daleks?
Well, I guess he's been around the block.
I guess that's how, right?
It's not like Missy showed up in the sewer and was like, oh my gosh, look at this. She was very much like, this is kind of common knowledge.
That's how it goes, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I would imagine whatever Missy knows, the Doctor kind of has a knowledge of.
Sure.
And so he pretty much... And so, yeah, I mean, the end game was basically that he, in the midst of his feeding Davros regeneration energy, he was regenerating the Daleks that were in the sewer, and they
right.
were very angry about being left in the sewer, which
I mean,
this is
imagine.
Where I'm like, yeah, I guess, but I'm sort of like, well, why? That's where I'm sort of like very confused about this whole episode. Like,
so they turn into this sentient slime
that
goes after the existing Daleks because they want to get back into their casings, I guess.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like this, that was kind of like, you know, a little dopey, but, you know, it's Doctor Who. I'm kind of used to dopey. It didn't tick me off too much. It's just the things that I'm sort of getting fed up with are these moments where it's like, it seems like a very dire moment, and then by the end of the episode, it's like, da-da-da, I knew what was happening all along.
Right, but now that, I knew the playing the long con was okay with me. The use of the sewer Daleks to go after the existing Daleks, the more I think about it, the less I like it. But what really bothered me at the end was, so there, you know, he and Clara are in the control room and they're surrounded by Daleks and they're going to shoot them. And wait, the TARDIS force field is still working.
Yeah,
but wait, where is it? Oh, it's in dispersal mode. Come on. That's to me is the biggest bunch of bullshit.
Why is that the biggest bunch of bullshit? Why?
Let's see. It's sitting around the room, sort of in a vaporized sense. He touches his new Sonic sunglasses.
Yeah.
Which I'm also okay with, but still.
Really? So you're okay with him getting rid of the screwdriver? Do you think they're really getting rid of the screwdriver, or was it just for this episode?
I don't know, but...
Has he always had a screwdriver, or was that just a couple of Doctors?
He's had one for a long time. I mean, he's had one at least since the third Doctor. He may have had one since the second.
Yeah.
I don't know if the first had one.
Oh, by the way, I love that little bit where Davros was going to touch the confession dial, and Doctor Who was like, you wouldn't... The Doctor was like, you wouldn't dare. He's
right.
like, these are my favorite pair of sunglasses. He like picks up the sunglasses
right.
and acts like the confession dial is like nothing to him. So,
right.
yeah, yeah. So now he's got Sonic sunglasses, which, okay, we'll go with that. But, and that's what he uses to recall the TARDIS. Which, if he knew that the TARDIS wasn't destroyed...
Wait a second. Not recall it. It wasn't, like, down the street. It was in the room. Somehow its force field was still working in its old spot, yet its molecules were sort of around somewhere.
You could pass through it, is what we're saying? Like, it was sort of like a ghost?
It was all around the room. Right, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Bullshit.
Well, here's another little bit of bullshit. I mean, if he thought... Well, you know, he thought that Clara was still alive, so he must have known that the TARDIS was around, because he would have known that that was a trick, that the TARDIS got destroyed. If he knew that the TARDIS was still there, so then that's probably why he had the knowledge, or he felt really strongly that he could Clara was still alive.
But I think at that point he was with Clara, because previously he bumps into Missy and Dalek Clara, where Missy tries to convince the doctor to shoot Clara inside the Dalek casing because, oh, Clara's dead. This is the Dalek that killed her.
Missy tries to con him into killing Clara, which is the person that he's upset is dead. And, you know, she keeps trying to say, I am Clara. And what comes out of the Dalek's mouth is, I am a Dalek. I am a Dalek. And he's like, I know you're a Dalek. And he's like, why aren't you trying to kill me? And somehow within the machine, Clara is able to say, mercy, or I have mercy, or something like that. And that's when the doctor's like, wait a minute, what's that all about?
But wait a minute, though. I think that all happened post sucking of the regeneration energy. So now, did the Dalek programming pick up the word mercy from the doctor?
Oh, from being regenerated. But that's not what the episode plays out as, because then what you see is at the very end, it kind of plays out a little bit like you predicted to me, which was basically like the whole reason that the doctor went back with that Dalek blaster was to save Davros, to instill the concept of mercy within him on a planet that is always fighting a war.
Right. Now, I think what happens, like, he was maybe hoping that Davros wouldn't be such a douchebag afterwards, but turns out, probably still a douchebag.
Well, I think that, because at some point... Well, see, at some point in the episode, the doctor also says, like, that little boy I abandoned on the war field. Like, he says something to Davros about having abandoned him. So... Yeah, it's just like really weird. Oh, we're getting into this timey-wimey stuff. Because when he goes at... Because it's my understanding that the whole reason that he goes back and saves Davros and says mercy is so that that concept will be somewhere in the Dalek's DNA, because Davros is the one that created them, right?
Maybe.
And it's that whole little bit of kindness at the end where he shoots the hand mines and saves the kid and then walks him home, where he just so he can have that moment, which seems, I don't know, man, like if you've got a little Adolf Hitler sitting there and you can kill him, this is the part of this whole episode. The thing is I really love the episode. Like, I love the way it played out. I had fun watching it. But when you apply any kind of serious thought to it, which you probably shouldn't do to Doctor Who, but the thing is throughout the years, all we've been told, even in the old ones, you know, is that these Daleks are not to be trifled with. They have no mercy. They will destroy you. They will kill you. They will not even think twice about it. They have been the Time Lord's enemy for who knows how long. They've decimated thousands of people. And the Doctor has an opportunity to just nip that in the bud and probably save millions of lives.
But I don't think so, because that's one of those like fixed points in time.
But he doesn't say that. That's just you saying that.
Yeah, but that would be the explanation why he didn't do it.
Yes, but which they should have addressed a little bit. This is what I'm saying is in the episode, I felt that there should have been at least a line of somebody should have said, like, why didn't you kill him? And he should have been like, it's a fixed point in time. Or if I do, then my whole history gets wiped out. You know, these are all things that I guess are left for us to come up with, which is fine. But when you're dealing with the mythology, which is like for years and years and years and years, you know, that this guy for what, 50 years now, right? That Doctor Who's been around, these guys are the worst of the worst. They've killed millions of people. And for some reason, which we're not aware of, I'm almost willing to bet that by the end of this season, we find out why he ends up at that moment in time. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he like ends up by accident saving Davros. So it just seems like a little weird, doesn't it? And it seems like I feel like there's going to be more coming. Don't you? Or are you just cool with it just being the way it is?
Well, based on all the coming attractions for the season, it doesn't seem like there's a lot more Davros going on this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that he's done what he had to do, which is basically, he was giving the Doctor the opportunity to wipe out the Daleks. Genocide by choice, and that was part of their discussion they were having.
Yeah,
and the Doctor was not going to take that route. He's had the opportunity in the past. He had that opportunity during Genesis of the Daleks back in 1975. He didn't do it. He says, "Do I have the right?" Because back at the close of that episode, Tom Baker is saying to Sarah that, you know, even though the Daleks caused a tremendous amount of suffering and pain, that somehow their existence causes some good, where planets become allies that wouldn't become allies otherwise, that, you know, people create technology that wouldn't have been created otherwise. So, you know, he says, I don't have the right to wipe them off out of existence.
Yeah. Well, he never addresses that in this particular episode, and I guess
no.
That's sort of, again, see, you're the long-term fan, and I'm
that's
not...
That's what you have me around for.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know, and I understand, because the Doctor, even the new Doctor Who episodes, there have been plenty of times where, you know, we've obviously been faced with moments where he could have done something horrible, and he very much had the power to do something horrible, right, and he didn't do it, which again is something that another little trope that is growing a little weary on me at this point. It's like, we got it. Doctor's a good guy. Let's move on. You know what I mean? Every like six or seven or so episodes, he's faced with this moment where he could take out the Cybermen forever, or the Daleks forever, or whatever race forever, and he doesn't do it because he's the good guy. And I'm like,
I know. It's getting repetitive.
It is getting a little bit like, yeah, okay. And that's the thing, is the other thing though too is that they've also very much gone out of their way to, at times, to say, like, there was the Time War, and it was a big, horrible thing, and that was a time in the Doctor's history where he probably wasn't as principled as he's always been, which is maybe when he was the War Doctor,
right,
or, you know, or the what's his name, Paul McGann Doctor?
The Eighth Doctor.
Yeah, or, right? That was the guy, the Fox TV show, right?
He was very principled there. He was very nice.
Yeah,
he's a lovely fellow.
But that's what I'm saying is there was, during the Time War, there was a point where he probably wasn't as goody-goody as he's been portrayed in the past and as he is now, because it was an awful, awful war. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, there was, in fact, I don't know if you saw that webisode. It was like a 10-minute prequel to The Day of the Doctor called The Night of the Doctor.
Yeah.
Where he crash lands on Karn,
yeah,
and the Eighth Doctor is dying, and he gets a regeneration potion from the Sister of Karn.
Yeah.
And he says, make me a warrior.
Yeah.
Because he's been sort of, the Eighth Doctor has been in the Time War, but not fighting the Time War. I've been helping out here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
So he hasn't really been fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point too. I guess the thing is I feel like, I have this feeling that there's sort of, these episodes very much remind me of, you know, whatchamacallit, Jesus, I'm blanking out. Again, I must be tired. Matt Smith, and the gentleman before him, who I really like, is my favorite.
David Tennant.
Yes, is my favorite doctor, and whose name I couldn't remember.
What's his name?
Yeah. These episodes very much reminded me of the sort of optimistic, the sort of like tally-ho, the sort of like, yes, I'm the doctor. And Capaldi last season was not really that at all. He was very sort of like, don't touch me. I don't like you people. Get away from me. You know what I mean? Like, he had a warm spot for Clara. And what I'm wondering... Yeah. What I'm wondering is if they're warming him, they're trying to warm him up a bit, because apparently the ratings from last season weren't terrific, at least in the UK.
I did not know that.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that they were, I'm not sure, I could be wrong. I could look it up. But from what I understand, that the last season's ratings weren't as good as they have been in the past. And so maybe they're trying to warm him up a little bit. Maybe they're trying to make him, you know, a fuzzy warm doctor a little bit again.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think last season also, whenever you come out of a regeneration, they're a little bit tetchy. So, I mean, Colin Baker starts off his tenure as a complete egotistical asshole.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, you know, he was insufferable.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, one of the first things he tries to do, he's a little unstable. He tries to strangle his companion, so.
Oh.
To be honest, it was Perry, so she had it coming.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. These two episodes seemed to have a very optimistic doctor, a very, like, good guy doctor, a very sort of, like, energy building up as the episode goes on, which has been very much a staple of the, you know, of the new Doctor Who, which is, you know, they start off kind of a little bit low-key, and then as the energy builds up, it's like, humanity, I'm here to save you, or, can't you see how wonderful they are? They're such great creatures, and then there's, like, the big climax, and it's like, ba-boom, you know, and that's what I felt kind of happened here, and they're, you know, in my opinion, last season did not do a lot of that.
See, I actually prefer some of the episodes that have a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Not where, you know, I'm going to infect every single Dalek on the planet with my energy, and it's going to freak them out, and I'm going to do this, and it's going to change the course of history. I prefer some of the episodes where, you know, like, a town called Mercy, where it's literally one little Western town.
Yeah.
Where he's dealing with one alien and one other alien who's trying to kill that alien.
Yeah.
And that, to me, plays out as much more interesting and thought-provoking.
You know what's really funny is the ones... I like a lot of the ones, too, where he doesn't necessarily have a companion, where he's kind of, like, off on his own. Like, there was that one episode...
Pretty rare.
Yeah, yeah. But there was one episode where Matt Smith moved in with sort of the sort of, like, slightly heavy-set guy.
Or the lodger,
and they're playing, like, yeah. And that was just brilliant. And that was the first time, I've said it before, where I felt like Matt Smith was very much, like shown, like, I was like, oh, this guy, like, this is the guy, like, this is the doctor, this is the one
exactly.
That I like. So yeah, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's funny because they started establishing a certain feel with Peter Capaldi's Doctor last season. And it seems to me, at least in these very first two episodes, it's like they're going back a little bit on that. He's not as grouchy. He's become a little more sentimental. He's become very much more concerned with her. Where last season, there were episodes where he was just like, what are you? You're like a bug. I don't even know what you are. You know what I mean?
Like, he was never like that.
No.
Because you know why? Because she did things that were pretty rude to him that, you know, if he really felt that way, he would have kicked her ass right out of the TARDIS.
No, I know, but there were definitely scenes. Come on, you got to admit, there were episodes where I specifically remember where he was like almost talking about her like she was like a puppy or like a pet something like that. And it was like, wow, he's really, you know, and that's when Clara actually started questioning whether she even liked him, right? And
right.
So this season, at least these first two episodes, he's like super concerned. He's very sentimental about their relationship. It's changed, man. I'm surprised you didn't notice it because you're the grumpy doctor guy. You like the sort of acerbic doctor. And in these two episodes, he was very mushy.
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt with the, you know, it's his last, he feels like he might be dying. So he sent out the confession dial.
Yeah.
But I guess that was part of the long con.
Yeah, I guess. But there's a part of me, too, where there's the guy last season wouldn't be that mushy about his own death. He would kind of be like, all right, let's get this over with. Like where it's been a good run. You know what I mean? Like, these two episodes are something I would probably more expect out of Tennant and especially Tennant and Matt Smith. You know what I'm saying? Where he's just...
But remember... You know why he was so grumpy? Actually, I could think about this now. He was also sick of her hanging out with Danny Pink all the time.
Well,
he's like, ugh, this is the most boring television I've ever seen.
Yeah. So I liked Danny Pink. I thought he was a fine addition. I wish he'd stuck around a little longer.
Ugh.
But the dynamic between the three of them was getting a little tiresome. It was a little bit like Moonlighting when Mark Harmon kind of like came onto the scene.
There you go.
Yeah. But so do you think... This obviously is not the end of the Daleks. Like, he didn't say, like, nobody said, like, the Daleks are done. Like, he destroyed them all, right?
No.
Yeah, and Davros is not dead.
No, he's actually better than ever.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, you had these sort of, like, gunky Daleks, the sludgy Daleks, you know.
But that wasn't all of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So some of them have survived. Like, he didn't even try to wipe them out or anything like that.
No,
yeah.
he set them back a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so they weren't, like, sort of decimated by their own, you know, their own machinations.
Right, their own
like
senior
that.
Citizen center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like these first two episodes. I think it was a really good kickoff. I think it was, you know, a lot of fun. And but there are definitely, like I said, like my comments, like there's very, like, dude, like, Clara, don't get in the Dalek. Like, that's possibly one of the dumbest things I've ever seen anybody do.
Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, the casing is literally just a machine.
Yeah, but she could have gotten stuck in there, man.
That's true.
There's no way. And then, you know, there was a part of me that I thought that they were going to play that out a little bit, like a little bit more, where she was going to, you know, that first episode that we saw her in, like maybe they were going to play with that a little.
Ugh.
And I felt it was a little bit of a missed opportunity in a way to have her maybe lose a bit of herself while she was in the Dalek, you know.
I got very nervous with the nanotech because, you know, when they were on the Asylum of the Daleks, the nanotech turned people into those Dalek puppets.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, so at that point, I was very much like, yeah, Clara, don't do it. Like, I thought that was just dumb. What about that little bit where they kind of, was it Tom Baker or was it somebody in a Tom Baker outfit where he was like creeping between these, where they were flashing back to the moment that the doctor discovers, you know, how to use the sonic screwdriver to teleport with all the blasters.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, it doesn't matter what face it is.
Right. We'll just stick it with this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there were. I think that was like CGI. It was not. There was. I was trying to remember if that was from an actual episode, but I don't think it was.
Yeah. Well, I felt like for a fraction of a second, it was a clip of Tom Baker, and then when he moved further on.
It was the first Doctor after that.
Yeah, the first Doctor after that. Yeah.
But I think it was just Photoshop, basically.
Yeah. They probably used like After Effects or something like that. Yeah. So that's interesting. So, to wrap it up, like, what are some of your thoughts? Like, what are you? I mean, A minus from you.
Yeah. Maybe I might even downgrade it to a B plus.
Really? Oh my God.
Now that we've been thinking about the whole sewer Daleks.
I ruined it for you.
No, you've opened my eye.
What was the first, the magician's apprentice? What was that, an A?
I think that was an A, yeah. Because too cool. There were no, like, what screws it up for me in this one were the Deus Ex Machina moments where the TARDIS coalesces out of nothing, but the force field's still working. The sewer sludge is actually going to help us later.
Yeah. There was stuff like that, and for me, it's sort of like the broader strokes that started to bother me, where it's like, wait, he knew all along, and the moments of like, I think it was a little bit overly sentimental between two people who were trying to kill each other for hundreds of
years. But never,
years.
No, they were trying to wipe out each other's people.
Yeah.
But not each other, because even in back in Genesis of the Daleks, when Davros quote unquote first meets him, as an adult,
he says, "Let's talk."
He says, "I have a lot of respect here as fellow scientists."
Yeah. Well, or have a hatred for the people that they're from. I don't know. It was a little bit overly, but then. Yeah, the broader strokes for me were a little bit. And then Clara stepping into a Dalek, I was like, no. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah, that was another problem I had with it technically was, so this Dalek clearly has some sort of air vents in it. And whether they come pre-made with the
casing. You're so stuck on how does she
breathe. So when Clara is talking and the Dalek's voice is coming out, you should still be able to hear Clara's real voice coming through all the vents.
I don't know, man. That looks like some pretty soundproof stuff.
And then the other thing is that why didn't she have the presence of mind to start just spelling out, C-L-A-R-A?
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is what they very much explained was that it's not what the Dalek says, it's the intention of what he says.
So think the letters.
Yeah, but even if there's some good intention, all Daleks are just supposed to be programmed with hate. So it would probably, even if she was thinking the letters, they'd probably still come out wrong.
But then, she was also panicking too.
Yeah. But then eventually the mercy thing happened anyway, which was not necessarily like a Deus Ex Machina to me, but was a little bit like, how did that happen? Like, which they went out of their way to explain. So, this episode does have holes in it, but I think quite honestly, like almost every Doctor Who episode I've ever watched has holes in it. But what I liked about it was that it was very fun. Capaldi was at the top of his game as always.
Oh, Missy was awesome.
Missy was fantastic.
I would watch a Missy Clara spinoff.
Holy cow. Really? Yeah. I would love for Missy to return. There was a lot of good stuff to like, and that's the thing is the reason that I love Doctor Who, or at least these new Doctor Whos, is, and I've said it before, they remind me very much of the original Star Trek series, where you didn't have to take it so seriously, or like Jack Kirby comics from like the 60s and 70s, where it was just like, we're just going to you know, shoot for the fences and we're going to have fun. And it may not all make sense. It may not be super perfect, but it's fun, you know. And that's what I love about Doctor Who, is that it has this feel of fun to it that, you know, I mean, I've been watching them for what, 9 years now, or, you know, and not as long as you have, but it's always had this spirit of adventure. And that is the biggest thing that I like. It reminds me of like something that the Fantastic Four should be. You know what I mean? Exploration, adventure, fun, like, gosh, like, golly, you know, this is amazing, you know. And they're just always thinking out of the box. So I think they did a good job. May not be perfect, but I think they did a good job.
I'm pleased. Listen, I'm a pretty harsh grader, but I am biased greatly in favor of the show generally. So for me to go, I would say the pair of episodes, the two-parter together, gets an A-.
Yeah. So wait, which gets an A? Like, what's your favorite?
The first, what would get an A?
Yeah.
Asylum of the Daleks would get an A.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. So I just need to know the bar.
That's the bar.
It's so funny because I've said this to you, via Facebook, I've said it before. One of my favorite episodes of all time is one of the most hated episodes among some fans, which is the ELO.
I love that one.
I know. I was surprised that you loved it too, but because so many people hate it.
I mean, that's, you know, they sort of turn the show upside down or inside out, where there's not much of the Doctor. He's sort of in the background.
Yeah.
There's not, like, he's not saving a billion people. He's saving like one person.
Yeah.
It's an interesting spin on things. And, you know, it's like all these people who are like in the Doctor's spotter club. That's cool. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, it was not dissimilar to that episode of Sherlock, right after Sherlock comes back, like right when Sherlock's coming back from the dead, when you've got like the Sherlock Spotters Club.
Trying
to find him.
Yeah. I mean, that, it's funny because that is one of the episodes that for me really sticks out in my head whenever I think of like when I first discovered Doctor Who, and the episode that made me sit up and go like, whoa, this is different. Like, they just did something different with this episode. Like,
right.
I did not expect to see anything. The ELO cover band, like, just the funniness of it, like, how funny it was. Like, I love ELO. So I was just, like, very happy with the whole thing. So that is one of my favorites. And I know that there are segments of the fan base that loathe that episode. But,
yes. To me, it's like that's the opposite with me in the Rings of Akatan, where, you know, there's this sun monster and you can kill it with a song, basically. And it's like that to me when the rocket cycle that doesn't, you don't need oxygen in space. Like, there was so much bullshit in that. And he had so many like over the top frilly speeches that I did not want to hear. And like, but everybody else in the world was like, oh, but those are the great speeches and blah, blah, blah. It's like Abraham Lincoln Wright makes might at the Great Hall. I'm like, please give it a fucking rest. It's a bad episode.
That's the thing, is I can't think of an episode of this current iteration of Doctor Who that I hate. Like, I don't think I've ever watched one and been like, I hated that. Like, that sucks so bad. Like, I don't think I've ever done that. There have been ones where I've been like, you know, could have been better. But again, the name of the game for me is I just think it's fun and it's a blast to watch. And it reminds me, Doctor Who reminds me of reading comic books when I was like early teen, 12 years old, and it was just all exciting and they would do crazy things and it didn't matter, like, the science of it or none. It didn't have to make sense. And that's why I love Doctor Who. So, all right. So this has been The Magician's, The Witch's Familiar. Oh my gosh.
Right.
The Magician's Apprentice, Witch's Familiar episodes of Part-Time Fanboy. And I am Christian Horn, and I have been here with what is possibly a very tired Barry Negrin.
Never.
He's 3 hours ahead and it's 8:30 on the West Coast. So you figure it out. But thank you for joining me again, Barry Negrin. It's
my
always
pleasure.
Wonderful to have you on the show. And we have to replan The Power of Kroll as soon as possible.
Let me know.
All right, I will let you know. All right, and thanks for listening to Part-Time Fanboy. And come back next week. Hopefully, we will have another episode ready to go. All right, thanks for listening.
Part-Time Fanboy. Part-time. Part-time fanboy.com.